No one can keep a secret forever. For Mike and Angela Dixiano, life in Alaska is one endless party.
They had fancy cars, they had a big home, they loved to entertain, they liked the good life.
But no matter how hard they try, they can't escape their pasts.
In this case, he had a lot of secrets. And whether they're secrets or lies, they're gonna catch up with you.
Dangerous addictions and sexy secrets will destroy a marriage and shock the last frontier.
When the lies start coming out,
why don't we tell every single person at this table your secret?
That is like raving a red flag in front of a bull.
When he gets to that point, my God, what can you say? You probably have a better shot at winning $1 million in Vegas than you have of keeping that kind of secret.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. Anchorage, Alaska, 2010. These wide-open spaces are a vast playground for Mike and Angela Dixiano.
They lived a rather lavish lifestyle in that there didn't seem to be anything that they wanted that they could not get. He had plenty of money to throw around, partying, that kind of thing.
They seemed very happy together. The house that Dixiano was living in is one of the nicer ones in town. They had sort of all these recreational opportunities, and they could kind of afford to do things that they wanted to do.
Mike has a background in mental health and a knack for helping people in trouble.
He was somebody who worked in alcohol and drug abuse programs, helped people get rid of their addictions. Certainly an important member of the community.
So now that we're in the right place, now we can start admitting what we've done and what we're gonna do to really make the positive changes in our lives.
He was well respected. On a job like that, you know, you meet a lot of people who have problems and you sort of help them sort those problems out.
The hard part is walking through that door, but I'm here, I'm trying.
Mike's wife, Angela, meanwhile, keeps the home fires burning.
Angela's lifestyle looked enviable. She didn't have to work, she could stay at home, she could enjoy herself, and she could live in the pleasures of the fruits of Mike's earnings. It's a little bit of a Cinderella story. She ends up living like a princess in a beautiful home with a man who seems to adore her.
She just seemed to be a very nice person. She seemed to be in love with her husband, and they were, you know, happy.
The couple has friends representing the many walks of life present in the Alaskan frontier.
It's a very comfortable place to live as long as you don't mind the winter. It's a very diverse city in not only demographics, but in terms of where people are from within the United States. And so the common expression that you'd have with someone is not where did you grow up in Alaska, but where are you from outside of Alaska? And as a result of that, people are very comfortable with meeting people from other parts of the country and other parts of the world. And so it's generally a very welcoming place for those that move here.
Angela also sometimes volunteers at the counseling center alongside Mike. Together, they lend a helping hand to the troubled and the lost who have come north seeking a new start. The Dixianos have a seemingly ideal existence until a bizarre event threatens to ruin everything. On the night of April 17th, 2010, Angela loses control at a party.
You know what, actually, guys, Mike, do you want me to tell them your secret?
She drinks heavily and becomes belligerent, alarming Mike and their friends.
I think that they should know. I think that they should really know who their best friend is.
When Mike tries to stop her, Angela starts spouting threats, screaming that she's going to tell them everything.
I'm sorry, guys. I really
apologize. You know what? Actually, I'm going to tell them.
I'm sorry.
I mean, don't you want your best friends to know what you've really been up to?
I'm really sorry.
I mean, don't you want to know? I think I would want to know who my best friend was.
She was ranting, drunk, talking about how she was going to tell people about what Mike had been up to.
Every single person at this table, your secret. No, I don't. Actually, I will.
It sounded like she was pretty erratic, obviously, and getting louder.
It's an embarrassing scene, and Mike is unable to calm Angela down or control her.
It sounds like it escalated to the point where they're fighting in front of their friends.
Disgusting human being.
Pretty wild night, it sounds like.
I'm gonna tell you guys.
Shut up! You're not gonna say another word about it. I'm sorry about this. Honey, you've had a little too much to drink, so why don't you go upstairs and relax, okay?
You know, I'm gonna tell them.
Had a little too much to drink. Why don't you go calm down? I'm sorry about that, guys.
No one hears from Angela for days after the party. When friends call to check up on her, Mike is forced to make a startling revelation.
Well, it's not good.
He says Angela's been sent to rehab. His wife's behavior at the party was much more serious than they realized because of her shocking secret. Angela's a recovering alcoholic and drug addict.
She had some trouble in her past. She had substance abuse problems, had some problem relationships, and she had come to Alaska to start over.
Alaska is a place that a lot of folks come to seeking adventure. But there are some folks who come here to bury their past.
Mike reveals Angela struggled with addiction for years. But she got sober when she came to Alaska and met Mike. And he's been helping her stay on the path of clean living ever since.
He meets Angela and helps her and changes her life. He had a good heart. It seemed like it was a loving relationship.
Their love for each other appears to have given Angela the clean slate she'd been looking for. And together, they've been working toward a brighter future. Now, it may all come crashing down around them. Mike tells everyone he fears Angela's losing her battle with drugs.
Once an addict, always an addict. And it doesn't matter how many treatment programs you've been in or how long it's been since you've used. As recovery experts say, relapses are part of recovery. You know, you're gonna have relapses.
Weeks pass, and no one hears from Angela. Friends believe it's because she's getting help.
Mike Dixiano told people that she was in rehab, so I'm sure that a lot of people were probably put off about trying to contact her. You know, they'll see her when she's well and comes out of rehab.
But weeks become months, and still there's no word from Angela. Her friends start to grow concerned. After 8 months, one of them decides she's been gone too long to still be in rehab and reports her missing to police.
Hello, I'd like to report a missing person, please.
Normally, if someone isn't seen for 48 to 72 hours, we would expect a missing persons report to be made. But it wasn't until December 2010 that someone actually called the troopers to report a missing person.
Yeah, my friend Angela, I have not heard from her in 8 months.
But before police officially open a missing persons investigation, they run a few routine checks.
What we were doing is checking with law enforcement contacts, checking with medical examiner's offices to see if she had been reported as either a missing person or as someone who had passed away.
Police quickly determine that Angela isn't in any local rehab clinic. And no hospital in Alaska has a record of anyone matching her description being treated or having died in their care.
Detectives had to backtrack and try to determine where she had been and who had seen her last.
Investigators pay Mike Dixiano a visit and question him about his wife's whereabouts.
Why would she leave?
He admits that after her drunken outburst at the party, she didn't actually go to rehab. Instead, he had her taken to a psychiatric hospital.
The fact of the matter is, my wife is a drug addict. And I tried to help her.
Mike said he was very upset at what had happened, and they had had a fight, and she wanted to return to drugs and alcohol abuse and the things that had led her into trouble.
But Mike reveals that Angela only spent one night in the psych hospital, the night of her breakdown.
He had her taken for psychological evaluation, but she was released the next day from the hospital as they did not determine that she was a danger to herself or others.
Mike says the truth is that he was never able to convince Angela to go to rehab. Because as soon as the hospital released her, she abandoned him.
She just took off. I don't know what happened.
He just said that she'd walked away and that he hadn't heard from her again.
I find that very strange, and I find that very suspicious. For Angela to just up and disappear from her cozy life, never to be heard or seen from again, something enormous would have had to provoke her.
When detectives press Mike for a reason why Angela would have left, his story changes. He confesses that it wasn't about her drug addiction. It's because she uncovered a secret he'd been hiding from her. And when he tells police what it is, they're stunned. But will it reveal where Angela has gone?
Secrets are very dangerous, and in our business, it's our job to try to get to the truth and try to figure out what really happened.
When police in Anchorage, Alaska, question Mike Dixiano about his missing wife, Angela, he reveals that she left him 8 months ago. And the reason why she walked out is shocking. Mike says Angela left him because she discovered his shameful secret. He'd been trolling online dating sites looking for sex.
How many girls?
Please.
Are you gonna tell me?
Tell you what, I don't know what you want me to
do. No, I'm giving you a chance to tell me. Just tell me, because you're a liar. You lie about everything.
I'm not sleeping with anybody.
Yes, you are.
The bottom line is you shouldn't have been in my office in the first place.
My God, you're such a liar.
The conflict between Mike and Angela in their relationship was the fact that she accused him of having relationships with other women.
At least one of those relationships evolved into a physical affair.
For Angela to find out that her husband had betrayed her trust by having an affair would have been devastating and painful.
Mike's affairs could be what had Angela so worked up at the party the last time her friend saw her, when she threatened to reveal her husband's dirty little secret.
Do we know who their best friend is? Why don't I tell them you're—
Shut the hell up!
Mike tells police that soon after that outburst, Angela returned to her old drug habits.
Any breach of trust can trigger a relapse. And it's possible that when she found out that her husband had betrayed her trust by having an affair, she relapsed.
You're gonna kill yourself. That's what's gonna happen.
Whatever, just stop.
Why won't you stop? It's not about me stopping, it's about you stopping. You understand?
As a substance abuse counselor, Mike had failed his own wife and driven her back to a life of desperation.
He tried to keep her away from drugs and alcohol abuse and the things that had led her to get into trouble in the first place, but was unsuccessful, and he had finally thrown his hands up.
Mike tells police he begged Angela to check herself into rehab, but she refused and ran off.
I guess she just didn't want to stick around. I tried my best to help her.
That was 8 months ago. By now, she could be anywhere.
He wasn't sure where she went. He wasn't sure where she was going to end up or who she had gone with, and he hadn't heard from her since. So that made it difficult to try to figure out what had happened to her.
But something doesn't add up. Angela doesn't work. So how has she been supporting herself and her drug habit these last 8 months without Mike's income? Mike reluctantly reveals that Angela has another dirty little secret. Although she may have appeared to be a wholesome, upstanding housewife, before she met Mike, she was more than just an addict. She was a prostitute.
It looked like she had been involved in prostitution, and there were hints that she may have continued to be involved in prostitution. It's one of the things that Mike brought up, that she had left him because she had returned to that life.
Angela came from a pretty checkered past, and we understand that she was familiar with life on the streets. With prostitutes, we find that there's a very high incidence of drug dependency. So often they use their trade to buy drugs to feed the habit that they have.
If you've got to have the drugs, you've got to have money for it. And in the case of some women, they have to prostitute themselves. So it's a sad existence.
Mike fears his wife has been back out on the streets all this time, selling her body for drugs.
She was a prostitute for her habit. That's what she did.
He was concerned that she was out on the street doing the things that she did in her past, the prostitution and the drugs and the drinking.
She's in a very bad way, and in order to feed her habit, she had to turn to prostitution. So it looked like she was coming apart. She was really out of control.
Has Angela really returned to a life as a hooker to support her drug habit? Police scour the streets for any sign of Angela.
You start in the seedy areas, as people would refer to them, and that, you know, would encompass prostitution houses, drug houses.
But detectives don't find Angela anywhere.
There was no indication here in Anchorage, in particular, that she had been seen anywhere.
And that strikes investigators as odd. If Angela's turning tricks in Anchorage or elsewhere, surely she would have been spotted at least once in the 8 months since she ran off.
She may have gone back into the drug world or something like that. But somebody still would have seen her. Somebody would have known where she was if she had gone that direction.
Investigators have to consider the grim possibility that Angela may be dead. But if she OD'd, her body should have turned up when police checked the hospitals and morgues. If someone's murdered her, however, her body could still be out there somewhere, hidden from police.
Could have been she was the victim of the addiction. Could have been she was the victim of a supplier. I mean, there were just so many other facets and factors to consider.
Detectives go through the names of Angela's known associates and discover that she made friends with many of the troubled people her husband counseled. And when they dig deeper, one name keeps popping up again and again. A troubled drifter named Sam.
He had an occasion to drift around, and eventually he crossed paths with Mike Dixiano, who became his counselor and tried to help him.
If you can trust me, then we can take this journey together.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Angela and Sam seem to have a lot in common, and reportedly spent a great deal of time together.
I think Angela may have been very motherly to him. I definitely heard stories about them having this bond. They definitely both had their own issues in different ways, and to a certain extent, that kind of brought them closer.
Police wonder, could Angela have run to Sam when she left Mike? Or could this troubled drifter be responsible for her disappearance?
Sam was a large man, he was a very strong man. Sam was on a lot of medications. It wasn't something we could ignore.
Obviously, Sam, being so close to this couple, would have been considered a person that they had to look out and rule in or out as a suspect.
Police track Sam down, but Angela's not with him. And when they hear what he has to say, they're not sure they'll ever find her. Investigators head down a troubling new road and are shocked by what lies at the end of it.
It made it certainly seem pretty sinister, just looking at bits and pieces from the beginning.
Detectives working the Angela Dixiano missing person case worry she may have run afoul of an unstable drifter named Sam. He certainly looks like the type of guy who might want to take advantage of someone like Angela.
Police made contact with Sam to try to attempt to figure out the type of lifestyle he was living. He was living in a house in very poor condition. It was very run down, it wasn't well kept, and it didn't look like he had any money at all.
Sam swears he hasn't seen Angela in months. And although Sam seems a little off, police are inclined to believe him.
No one knows where she is?
When you met Sam, he's a very kind and gentle person. He's a very nice man.
Sam seems to genuinely adore both Mike and Angela.
I mean, they've been really good to me. They check up on me, make sure, you know, I'm okay.
He's truly upset to learn she's been missing for so long.
Is she okay? What happened?
The comments that he made to me suggested that he thought highly of Angela and that he was sad that Angela had gone away.
Sam never struck me as being a suspect in any way.
Concerned about where Angela might be, Sam tells detectives they should talk to her mother.
What about her mother? Maybe her mother knows where she is.
Where does her mother live?
Washington, Washington State.
She didn't communicate with her very often. I think her mom knew what kind of lifestyle she was living, and that probably was pretty hard for her.
Investigators track down Angela's mother and place a call, hoping to hear that Angela's made contact with her and is alive and well. But instead, they're blindsided by what she tells them. She says Angela died from her drug use months ago in Alaska.
She's not here with me. She passed away months ago from liver failure.
The detectives found out from her mother that she had died of liver failure or something related to her drug activity.
Investigators are stunned. If Angela's dead, why did hospitals in Alaska have no record of her death when police contacted them?
It was surprising because they could find no record of her death. And in Alaska, we keep track of people's births and deaths like anywhere else.
Then they ask Angela's mother how she learned of her daughter's death. Her answer blows them away. She tells them it was her son-in-law, Mike.
Her husband, Mike, said she passed away months ago.
This is Mike.
Angela passed away.
Mike had told her that she had died of something related to her drug past. And he had spread her ashes in Homer, Alaska. Finding that there was no death certificate issued for her, and Mike telling her mom that she had died here, that's an automatic red flag.
Why would Mike Dixiano concoct such a devastating lie?
It's a pretty significant thing to lie about. If you go that far to make up a story like that to a family member, what are you capable of doing? What else can you do? Quite a bit.
Police bring Mike in for questioning and demand an explanation.
Mike, why did you tell Angela's mother that she had passed away when you knew she was just missing?
I wanted to save her the pain.
He gives them a surprising answer.
Knowing what her daughter was going through with the drugs, to me, as far as I was concerned in that situation, it was better to tell her that she had passed away.
Mike told the detectives that the reason he told Angela's mom that she had died was to spare her the pain of understanding that her daughter had gone back into the drug world.
He didn't want Angela's mom to know that she did fall in with that crowd again and was out on the street doing the things that she did in her past, the prostitution and the drugs and the drinking.
With no sign that Angela was ever going to recover or return, Mike thought it would be easier for his mother-in-law to think Angela was dead and finally at peace than to know the truth.
It indicated to the detectives that he was covering something up. And so when faced with that kind of incongruity, the detectives dug deeper.
It's a huge red flag for the authorities, because if you can lie to your wife's mother about her own daughter's death, you're capable of a great deal worse.
Detectives are convinced something else is going on behind the scenes, and they want to know what it is. What else is Mike Dixiano hiding? And what does it have to do with Angela?
When the lies start coming out, that is like raising a red flag in front of a bull for an investigator.
The secrets run deeper and nastier than Anchorage police ever expected.
Clearly, in this case, secrets are dangerous enough to kill. If a person is willing to do whatever it takes to keep it a secret, they'll kill.
Mike Dixiano appears to have been lying about the disappearance of his wife, Angela. And when police dig deeper into the couple's past, they discover that's not all he's lied about. It seems Mike isn't the qualified substance abuse counselor he claims to be.
He portrayed himself as a dual diagnosis counselor for both mental health and substance abuse. He had told people that he had a Notre Dame degree, but that was a fraudulent diploma. I don't believe that he had the requisite qualifications to serve in that capacity.
Is there anyone who has a question, would like to add anything?
For me, it's hard. I just want to know when it'll stop and when I'll be able to put this in the past.
Even more disturbingly, it seems Counselor Mike has a dirty little secret. He has a habit of taking advantage of his female clients.
Mike had been fired from previous employment due to inappropriate relationships with female clients. That's illegal, it's wrong.
When police start looking into Mike, they find out that he has a sordid past of his own. He's crossing the line with female patients, and he's not as squeaky clean as he presents.
Even more shocking, the relationship that cost Mike his previous job was with Angela.
We understand that she was a patient in a treatment program where Mike had worked. They had made contact there, and he had move forward in the relationship.
Mike's a predator, and he took advantage of his position of power. He was counseling people who were vulnerable, and he took advantage of them. He abused his position. He wanted Angela, and he took her, regardless of the harm it might cause her.
When a person's in a counseling situation, they have a lot of power over the people that they're counseling. They have the ability to influence their thinking, their actions, their decisions. Mike obviously used that position in dealing with his wife.
It seems the seemingly upstanding drug counselor is anything but. Mike appears to have a long and lurid history of luring the women he was supposed to be helping into bed. Angela among them.
He was fired from several places. He had an inconsistent work history. It appeared that he had some conflict with his different employers, some of it related to his relationship with Angela.
But if Mike's work history is so checkered, how do the Dixianos afford the lavish lifestyle they appear to enjoy?
He was a guy who seemed to be very well off because of the manner in which he lived, the things that he purchased.
He sounded like the kind of guy that was, you know, sort of spending a lot of money, but didn't really have the background to back that up.
So where is all of Mike's money coming from?
That brought many questions to the detectives that they needed to answer. Detectives spent a lot of time trying to find out what the source of this money was.
Police have a sneaking suspicion that the state of the Dixianos' bank account is somehow tied to Angela's disappearance. So they pore over the couple's financial records, hoping to uncover a clue. And they're more than a bit surprised by what they find.
It looked like 4 to 5 times a year, there were $20,000 transfers into Mike's account. There were also larger transactions. It looked like there was a big chunk of money that had maybe $160,000.
It seems the Dixianos have a mysterious benefactor. But the source of all the cash is the most puzzling mystery of all. Over and over again, the same name keeps appearing on Mike's financial records. Sam, the troubled drifter. How could this unstable character be making Mike Dixiano a millionaire? The answer will finally reveal where Angela Dixiano has gone. Angela's final secret comes to light.
When he gets to that point, my God, what can you say? I never would have thought that it would end like this.
Detectives searching for Angela Dixiano have discovered that her husband, Mike, has been receiving regular payments totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars from a troubled drifter named Sam. So they take a hard look at the strange, simple man Angela Dixiano seemed to have taken under her wing and make a surprising discovery. Despite outward appearances, Sam isn't flat broke. In fact, he's secretly a multi-millionaire.
When you met Sam, he's a very nice man, but he's not the person who would strike you as being a millionaire.
His parents made a lot of money. They were concerned about his well-being, so they established this trust fund, and it was worth millions.
It seems that Sam lives a simple, quiet life by choice.
I was surprised when I found out he had all that money, that there was a guy that really should have been a millionaire, but Sam didn't seem like he even knew it.
You cannot judge a book by the cover. That in Alaska, trust me, the person sitting next to you might be in a plaid shirt and raggedy overalls and be worth millions of dollars. I've seen it. That's just the nature of Alaska.
No one could ever have guessed that Sam was sitting on $3 million. No one, apparently, but Mike Dixiano. Along with Sam's financial records, police unearthed something else. Something that may be the key to cracking this case. Mike Dixiano has power of attorney over Sam's fortune.
Mike was serving as a mental health counselor, and Sam was one of his patients. Sam was on a lot of medications, and Sam told us that Mike had convinced him to get off some of the medications.
Well, I think the best decision right now is to take you off the meds. I just need you to trust me.
It's my belief that Mike did that so that he could have greater control over Sam.
Somehow the trust fund probably got worked into the conversation. At some point in time, Dixiano thought, there's an opportunity here.
Sam's easily taken advantage of. Apparently, he was very trusting of Mike, and Mike was able to somehow maneuver Sam into giving him power of attorney over Sam's affairs.
I can help you look after your affairs. I can do that for you. You just need to trust me, and I can take care of everything for you.
Ever since, Mike has been stealing Sam's fortune right out from under his nose.
What would happen is the money would go into the joint account, and Mike, within days, would take it out and put it into a sole account. Mike took about $20,000 every couple of months. It's a very clever scheme to bilk a millionaire of his funds.
When it was all said and done, we believe that Mike had stolen more than $800,000 from Sam.
Mike was able to convince him that he was taking care of him. But I don't think Sam knew that Mike was putting everything in his name rather than Sam's name.
And money isn't the only thing Mike Dixiano's been stealing from Sam. While Sam's living in poverty, the Dixianos live in a luxurious home that was supposed to be Sam's until Sam signed it over to Mike for just $1.
Mike was living in a house in South Anchorage. Everything was brand new, and there was every amenity you could possibly want in a home.
When police ask Sam about his secret millions, he's shocked to hear that much of it has gone to Mike.
Mike's my friend. Mike would never do anything like that to me. He's like family to me. He wouldn't do that to me.
Sam didn't seem to have a clue that Mike had been stealing from him.
Mike takes care of me. He's helped me. He's kept me clean all these months. And
he hasn't been helping you. He's been helping himself to your money. We have the records to prove it. He's not your friend.
It was really difficult for him to get to that point of even thinking that Mike could do something bad to him.
He didn't want to believe that his friend Mike would do something like that to him, and Sam really struggled with the idea that Mike would manipulate him in that way.
Investigators now have a new and very disturbing theory why Angela Dixiano disappeared. She didn't fall off the wagon the night of the dinner party. And it wasn't Mike's affair that had upset her so much. Investigators believe she discovered Mike was embezzling from Sam, and that's what she meant when she threatened to tell their friends everything.
She's raving and ranting, and she's threatening to blow the cover on Mike.
Why don't we tell every single person at this table your secret?
Why don't we calm down?
No, I don't. Actually, I will.
Had a little too much to drink.
Sounds like she's getting ready to tell the cops that she knows that Mike's been stealing from Sam.
I do believe that when she threatened to expose the fraud and the embezzlement, that he was afraid she would do that.
I'm not going to go to jail. Tell somebody. No, did that to him.
Could have landed him in prison, and he, I'm sure, was feeling very, very threatened by this.
You're not going to say anything about it.
Who knows what she would have said?
Police suspect Mike tried to get his wife committed to a psychiatric hospital after the party to keep his secret safe. And when it hadn't worked out, he resorted to more deadly methods to protect himself.
It was obvious that something bad had happened to Angela and that likely Mike Dixiano was the one that did that.
Mike was going to protect his secret at any cost, and Angela didn't stand a chance. Mike would not let anyone find out what he was really up to, even if it meant he had to kill his wife to keep her quiet.
Police obtain a search warrant for the Dixiano home and finally uncover evidence that reveals what happened to Angela. Underneath a carpet, they find a large bloodstain.
The cops found some interesting things when they went into the house. Mike Dixiano had a carpet replaced, and when they tore up that carpet, they found a bunch of blood, and they sent that blood away for DNA testing.
The crime lab confirms the blood is a positive match to Angela's DNA.
It was probably the most damning evidence, really, in the whole case.
With nowhere else to turn, Mike confesses to Angela's murder.
We had an argument.
You're not gonna say anything about it!
I took a baseball bat and I hit her in the head. I didn't see any other option.
In exchange for a plea deal, Mike Dixiano tells police where he dumped Angela's body in the Alaskan wilderness.
By the time he had fessed up and they had gone out there to find her, it was basically just some bones laying out in the woods.
Mike Dixiano pleads guilty to second-degree murder and first-degree fraud and is sentenced to 20 years in prison without the possibility of parole.
For Angela, the secret that Mike Dixiano was trying to keep from everybody, it proved fatal. It's just mind-boggling what people will do for money. They say it's the root of all evil. It certainly was in this case.
In order to protect who he was, who he truly was, Mike was willing to betray his friend and murder his wife. Mike was very, very adept at tricking people into thinking he was somebody who he wasn't and keeping his true identity secret. Apparently, all the way to murder.
Angela Dixiano thought she had married a virtuous man who would help save her from the demons of addiction that plagued her life. But her husband's secrets turned out to be more dangerous than any demon she'd ever faced.
He was in a position to help people, and instead, he helped himself. I think this is a very tragic case because he took advantage of the people in his life who he had the power to help, and he betrayed them, and he preyed on them.
She was maybe a flawed character, but it wasn't her flaws that led to her death, and that's the real sad thing about it. That could have been anybody. Anybody that married the wrong guy who was up to no good and they had uncovered some secret about them that that person was willing to kill to protect.
I didn't know Angela, but she sounded like someone who was kind-hearted, who deserved an opportunity to try to have a peaceful, sober existence, and she was deprived of that opportunity by Mike. He was dangerous to those that trusted him, those that were vulnerable, and I do believe that this community is safer with Mike Dixiano behind bars.